My dad, Pastor Salem, loved to spread the glorious gospel across the globe and into the hearts of everyone. I'm Mike Salem. Welcome to the Christian Worship Hour. We are grateful to be in your home today, worshiping the Lord together. We recently heard from a viewer in Wyoming. The letter reads, "Thank you so much for the wonderful sermon from Pastor Salem. I have been watching him for many years, and I wish I could have met him. His sermons are the best. I look forward to your program every Sunday. It's my church. I am 92 and don't always feel well enough to go out to my church, so I'm able to watch CWH. My prayers are with you all." Now, let's listen to Pastor Salem share answers in God's Word of how do we become a better Christian? How do we live a life honoring to Christ? We will hear those answers in today's sermon titled, "Life Which Becomes the Gospel." God bless you.
I'm Pastor Salem, and I want to welcome you to the Christian Worship Hour. And another week has gone by. The Lord has tarried another week. And so here we are to worship the Lord. And isn't it wonderful that we're worshiping with people all over the world, and we're at one focal point, one place, and that is the feet of Jesus. And we're coming to worship Him and to worship God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, and worship Him and draw strength and encouragement from Him and bring praise and honor to His name. So we're just so glad that you're all with us and all together worshiping the dear Lord Jesus. And we're looking at Psalm 145 today, the opening verses, where the psalmist said, "I will extol Thee, O God, O King. I will bless Thy name forever and ever. Every day will I bless Thee, and I will praise Thy name forever and ever. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, and His greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall praise Thy works to another, and shall declare Thy mighty acts. I will speak of the glorious honor of Your majesty, and of Thy wondrous works." And Lord, we come to praise You and to think of Your wondrous works. We think of the creation, not only of the earth, but of the stars and the moon. And oh God, they don't even know how many stars there are. And yet we're told You created every one of them and You gave each one of them a name and You named the stars. And we can't comprehend that because we are only human. We're only mortals. But someday we're going to have that spiritual body and see You face to face. And so we just pray that You bless us in this service. We pray that You honor Your name and help Your people. And to those who are not Your people, who are still in their sins and afar off, help them to come to Jesus. Wonderful, beautiful Jesus. In His name we pray. Amen. And Melissa's going to sing, "Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus." And God bless you, Melissa.
God bless you.
Soul, are you weary and troubled? No light in the darkness you see. There's life for a look at the Savior, and life more abundant and free. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. Through death into life everlasting, He passed, and we follow Him there. in the light of His glory and grace. His word shall not fail you, He promised. Believe Him and all will be well. Then go to the world that is dying, His perfect salvation to tell. In the light of His glory, in the light of His glory, in the light of His glory and grace.
Well, thank you, Melissa. And that's the secret. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Keep our eyes on Jesus. You remember the story of Peter walking on the water. I remember my mother, every night, she put her children in bed, five children, and we put her in our beds, and then she'd read a Bible story to us, and then she'd give us a kiss, a prayer, and a kiss. That's my earliest recollections of childhood. And one of those stories that was, I really like David and Goliath. I really like that one. But Peter walking on the water. And I can still see that picture, and the ship is right there, and he's just right close to the ship, practically touching the ship, and he's sinking. And I don't think that's a true portrayal at all, because I believe Peter walked on the water, maybe a half a block, maybe a block. He walked on the water, and then he took his eyes off of Jesus, and he began to sink. And you know, that's what happens to us. If we keep our eyes on Jesus, we don't worry about the wind and the waves, and don't worry about the circumstances of life, and don't worry about this, and don't worry about that. Just keep your eyes on Jesus, and you'll never go down. You may be in the storm, and you may have troubles, and you may have, in this world, we're going to have tribulations, but Jesus says, be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. So we're going to have our struggles and trials, but we'll never go down if we just keep our eyes on Jesus. Beautiful, beautiful Jesus. He is so wonderful. Well, we get letters. We get a lot of letters. And all, we really appreciate it so much. So many of you sending gifts to help us, and many of you sending letters. And some of you have questions. We always try to answer a question. If you get into politics or something, we don't monkey around with that. That is a hopeless situation. It's never going to get straightened out till Jesus comes. So that's what we tell you. Wait till Jesus comes, and He'll figure it all out. But if you have something about maybe you think you can lose your salvation, and you're worried you're going to lose your salvation, we have a whole book on that. Why can a Christian lose their salvation? And the answer is absolutely not. You can't. You cannot lose your salvation. If you're born again, you're a child of God forever and ever. Amen. And by the way, I'll give you the address here in just a minute. And if you want that little booklet, it's about 12 pages. It's on a free will offering basis. Can you lose your salvation? No. And all is filled with the Word of God. It's not what I think, or I had a dream, or I had a vision, or something like that. Just it's the Bible. Just what God says, and you can take it or leave it. Really doesn't matter to me. I know what I believe, so hallelujah. And even if you think you're going to be lost, you're still going to get to heaven, but you're going to do a lot of sweating you wouldn't have to do. So straighten up, get things right. Let's see, here's a letter. The first one is from Baton Rouge, Louisiana. My name is Rita in Louisiana. I was watching your television program on Saturday. I enjoyed how you explained the Word of God with such simplicity. As my daddy used to say, a fool can't err and a blind man can't miss the way. I have two sons incarcerated, presently under God's construction. I saw that you have information on two writings that I'd love you to send to them, on one on the soul and the other subject on angels. I thank you for expounding on the word, line upon line, precept upon precept. Keep up the good work. And so we did this. When this mother writes to us, we'll say, your mother asked us to send you this book. And we write to people, and we hear from prisoners, from people in prison from Alaska to Mexico and from Maine until California. I don't know how many. One of the federal prisons, we hear from 14 different prisoners. And so we send literature, and we answer our questions the best we can. And I always tell them, you know, St. Paul was in prison. And if you're a Christian, you shine for Jesus like St. Paul. You can be a missionary. That can be your mission field. And you can bring people to saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus. So just stand for the Lord, witness for the Lord. Well, let's see. Prior Lake, Minnesota. We are so happy with your no-nonsense preaching. Anyone could follow your guidelines on how to receive Jesus into their heart. My husband and I love your home-style sheep-herding language, as do a lot of smiling and say to you on TV, that's the way, Buster. We love you and your staff. Keep preaching until Jesus takes us all home. And that's it. We're just plain everyday people. We couldn't get fancy if we wanted to. And I used to herd sheep. My dad had sheep. He wouldn't have a cow on the place except a couple of stupid milking cows that kicked all the time you milked them. I never did like a cow, but I do like the sheep. They never kick you. And so we were raised with the sheep. I'm just happy to be a sheep herder. And, you know, sheep herders are smarter than cowboys. And I'll tell you how I know. Sheep herders never get on a wild bull. They're too smart for that. But we love the cowboys, too. And we hear from them. And we had one, Lee Clausen, in Evansville, Wyoming. And I've known him for 10 years. And just through the mail, writing, and telephone. And he went to be with Jesus just about the 1st of June. And he knew Jesus and loved Jesus. And so the cowboys and the sheep herders, they make peace. And they're just like the Jew and the Gentile. Everything's lovely in Jesus. Seattle, Washington. My husband had emergency surgery. He was suffering with great pain and loneliness. A Christian nurse helped him pray. And when he got home, he received the new song. Everything written by the pastor was like it was written for him. God bless you. And so the couple things I want to say here. The first is there's a Christian nurse, and she's praying with this man because he's nervous, he's afraid, he doesn't know what the future has, he doesn't know what's going to happen, and she talks to him about Jesus. And God has his people everywhere, all over the world. He'll never be without a witness. It's going to be a smaller witness because in the last days it's going to get worse and worse, but he'll always have his people somewhere. Witnessing and shining. That's what this nurse did. And the second thing they thank us for is the new song. Now, the new song is a little Bible study we put out every month. And this month, it's on Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. And it's the wonderful Jesus, the wonderful Savior. And some people use these for Bible studies, and some of them use them for to give to friends. And we have them in the prisons where people use them in prisons. And they're very plainly written, and they're free of charge. And, you know, we really ought to charge a subscription price, but we're such nice people. We just don't have the heart, so we send them free. And then you say, oh, those are good people. I'm going to help them. And then they really send the gifts in. And away we go, paying our bills just as happy as if we had good sense. Let's see. Here's Sao Paulo, Brazil. I've heard you today on shortwave with the Christian Worship Hour program. I knew you are celebrating your 96th birthday. This letter is just to wish you all the best for this important day. God bless you and your mission. Sorry for my poor English. I speak Portuguese. Sincerely yours. Well, God bless him. And I think I told somebody, I don't know any Portuguese, and I know one French word, and that's chevalier. And that's the only French word I know, and no Portuguese. So he's way ahead of me. But we are so thrilled. I'm thrilled, first of all, because of shortwave. You know something? They tell us that the Christian worship hour covers 90% of the world's population by shortwave radio. And there are a lot of people in parts of the world, in persecuted parts, they can't afford to get a TV, but they can get a little shortwave radio. And they can hear the gospel and be encouraged. Because we want to encourage them, because they sure encourage us. When we see these people giving their life for the Christ, it makes me think that I'm sure not a very good Christian. Would I be willing to die for the Lord? I hope so, but I wouldn't trust myself. I just don't know what would happen. But this here, these dear brothers, we pray for them and witness for them best way we can and encourage them through shortwave radio. And then I'm all so happy that we hear from this man, this dear brother. We've already answered. He answered us by email. We emailed him almost the same hour. I better scared him half to death. Think there's somebody live over there. Never ever heard, expect to hear from him. Here we are, happy as we can be, talking about Jesus. Here's Knoxville, Tennessee. I enjoy your service each week since I'm not able to get over to our church. I pray the Lord would give you many more years of good health. You may be able to preach God's word. I know there are many people listening, even the young people. So God bless you and every one of your staff. And I had a little note here about thank God for our staff. We have 5 people in the office. We have many other people working. We have a prayer team of about 40 people. We have a board of directors. We have an executive committee. And, you know, we're just like the government. Boy, we got more committees and boards than we know what to do with. But they're all working together to the glory of God, and that's the way it should be. And so in our office, we have 5 on our staff, and we keep busy. We answer every letter we get. We take care. We deposit all the money, and we take care of all the things, and it's just a joy to work with them. And I'm also thankful for our church staff. Now, here's one that I really liked. It's from Hungry Horse, Montana. Hungry Horse, Montana. I'd love to see that town. And but this is what he writes. A little short note. This is all he wrote, a gentleman. Please pray for me and my relationship with God. And I thought right away, here's a hungry man for the Lord, wanting to know the Lord, from Hungry Horse, Montana. And so we've sent literature already right away. And how to accept Jesus, that's the key. That's the first step. And it is so important that you make that step, because you just need to ask the Lord into your life. And it isn't something difficult. It isn't something hard. I accepted Jesus when I was 10 years old. That's 86 years ago. And he never failed me once. I failed him 1,000 times over. But he's never failed me a single time. And I'll tell you something about Jesus. He goes more beautiful all the time. And when people tell me they don't love Jesus, I tell them, you don't love him because you don't know him. That's why you don't love him. If you know Jesus, you can't help but love him. You're compelled to love him. He is so beautiful and so wonderful and so kind and so loving and so honest. When I'm doing something wrong, he'll convict me of it. He isn't afraid to say that this is wrong, change your ways. He has some thou shalt and thou shalt not. And God knows America needs it, and the whole world needs a few more thou shalt not and thou shalt. And this wonderful Jesus always does it in love and kindness. And you can't know him and without loving him. One more letter. Baldwin City, Kansas. Dear Pastor, I watched your service for the first time. I can't tell you how it made me feel. I haven't been to church in 30 years or more. I went my own way from God, although I was brought up going to church each Sunday. I have a physical problem where I can't go to church, so I just turned away. After or during watching your program, I wanted God back in my life. I'll tell you this. I'll never let him out of my life again. As I watched your service, I pondered. I wondered how I ever let it go in the first place and so far away from God. I'll be watching every Sunday that I can. I never want to turn away from the Lord again. My husband is so faithful to God. I wish I could have been more like him. We will both be watching you and thanking you for there has when I needed you the most. And this tells us it's never too late to come to Jesus. 30 years she didn't go to church, but Jesus was there. And when she came back to him, he opened his arms to her like the prodigal son. And he didn't say, go and get cleaned up and you smell like a pig and get cleaned up first. He put his arms around him and hugged him. And that's what God does. He doesn't say, don't get cleaned up and everything else to be a Christian. Just come the way you are and then I'll clean you up later. Like one old pastor says, God doesn't clean his fish till he catches them. And so when we come to Jesus, then you start the cleanup part. But come just as dirty and wicked as you are, and he'll wash you clean. And though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Jesus, oh, this wonderful Jesus. And so we hope that you'll help us in this work and that you'll send us a letter. And you send it to the Christian Worship Hour. Christian Worship Hour. And the box is 2002. And we're in Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. If you want to get us on an email, you can do that, christianworshiphour.com. But we need to have your help, and we need to have your prayers, and we need to have your help. And so we're telling you that we have needs. In James, James says, you have not because you ask not. If we don't tell you we have a need, you probably figure, well, they got a whole stack of money. They don't need anything. Why should I send it there? I'll spend it on myself, which is wrong because if it's tithe money, you got to give it to the Lord or you're sinning against the Lord. And so we have to tell you, yes, we have need. We're just like the dentist. We just live from hand to mouth. That's all. And so we have to have your help. And so you can write to us, the Christian Worship Hour. And the box is 2002. I'm giving it several times for our shortwave friends. I know the rest of you have it on TV. Christian Worship Hour, box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. And if you want to send a gift over the internet, you put it on the internet, christianworshiphour.com. Whatever you send, we'll get in American currency and we'll pay our bills. And another thing I want to tell you about the giving. We are a member of the Christian of the Evangelical Council for Financial Accountability. Now that's an organization that checks our finances. They come in and they check our books, and they audit us, and they see do you receipt every penny you get, and are you spending the money exactly where you say you're going to spend it for the furtherance of the gospel? And we are a full member of that organization, and we're proud of it. And so when you send a gift, you'll know it's safe and sound. One other thing, don't forget the new song, that little Bible study. And then if you want to get the little booklet on Can a Christian Lose Their Salvation? And then if you can send a gift to help us, that's fine. If you're in prison, like we get from so many people in prison, that's just fine. We'll send it just the way. Somebody else will make it up. It all works out because God takes care of it because it's his work. So now I'm going to pray. Jan's going to play, and you give as the Lord lays on your heart. Heavenly Father, thank you for those all over the world who help us in this ministry. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Jan. God bless you. Well, we're reading from Philippians chapter 1. And so you can get your Bibles. I know that some of you get all dressed up for church and you have your Bibles and you're all set. One lady said she has a cup of coffee alongside of it. And if that isn't something, but that's all right. Just join us. And don't get into that easy chair, that lazy boy chair, because you won't be with us all the way. You'll be in la-la land before I even get to the good part of the sermon. So just stay awake with us, but get your Bible. And we got Philippians chapter 1, starting with the 21st verse. Paul writes, For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Yet what I shall choose, I know not. For I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. And having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you all for your furtherance and the joy of faith, that your rejoicing may be more abundant in Jesus Christ, for me, by my coming to you again. Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel, and in nothing terrified by your adversaries, which is to them an evident token of perdition, but to you of salvation and that of God. For unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake, having the same conflict which he saw in me and now here to be in me. And so we're going to pray, and in our prayer today, we're going to pray for the persecuted church in Kuwait. Every week, without fail, we pray for the Christian church, the persecuted church in some part of the world, and their multitudes giving their life for Christ and are being persecuted in so many ways. And it's a great joy and a great privilege to uphold them in prayer. And their steadfastness encourages us to also be steadfast and remain true even unto death. So let's look to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this passage in Philippians chapter 1, who gives us instructions on how to live the Christian life, how to be a better Christian, how to grow in our faith. And you give us so much guidance and direction. Help us to be willing students. Help us to have our hearts wide open to the preaching of the word, and that we may follow you and serve you. And Lord, to those who do not know you, those who have never accepted you as their Savior, we just pray today, this very hour, this very service, that they will see that they need Jesus and they want Jesus, and help them to pray and to ask him into their heart and life. And you will always come in, because you're not willing that any should perish, but it all should come to repentance. And so may many, many turn to you during this very service. Dear Lord, we want to pray today for those who are shut in. We want to pray for those who are having troubles and trials. And we pray for those in Kuwait, Lord, that you'll bless them and help them and encourage them. We pray that in all that we do and say will honor you and be pleasing in your sight, and will be beneficial for the Christians and the non-Christians alike, that the Christians will be strengthened and non-Christians will join their ranks to the glory of God. That's our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. Barb's going to sing for us now, Sweet Beulah Land. God bless you, Barb.
Of homesick for
Thank you, Barb. And to those of you who don't know it, my wife's name was Beulah. And I'm anxious to see her. And I suspect that she'll probably say something like, boy, it took you so long getting here, I was worried you maybe didn't make it. Something like that. But I'll make it. And I know I'll make it because I'm clothed in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. When I come to the Lord and accept Him as my Savior, that was, I was 10 years old. He took away all of my sins and He washed me clean and He clothed me with the righteousness of Christ. And when I stand at heaven's gates, they've got to let me in because I'm in Christ and Christ is in me. And I'll be there. So don't ever worry about it, my friend. I'll be there. But in the meantime, we are to serve the Lord, live for the Lord. And everybody that's a Christian always wants to be a better Christian. And we never reach perfection, and we never will in this world. So don't get discouraged. Because just about the time you got one thing whipped and you think you got it straightened out, there'll be six other things. And I'm going to tell you this, the closer you get to Jesus, the more you see your imperfections. And that's good. And it gives us something to work for and strive for. And that's what we do until we enter the pearly gates. And then the struggle is over. And we're perfect forever with Christ. Paul writes about this in Philippians 1, verse 27 to 30. He said, only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, And so whether I come or I be absent, he says, and nothing terrified by your enemies. And then he says, for unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake, having the same conflict which he saw in me and now here to be in me. And so how do we do this? How do we become a better Christian? How do we live a life that is honoring to Christ? And I put down several things. First of all, we must be steadfast. When in the 27th verse, Paul admonishes us and he says, that ye stand fast in one spirit. He says, stay with it. Never give up. And I can look back over my ministry of 73 years and I have seen many people start out in that Christian life. And we thought they were going to be a second St. Paul. And we rejoiced and we thrilled with them. And then something happened. They had their feelings hurt, or they got into sin, or they just cooled off, or they did something and they disappeared, and you can't find them for love nor money. It is comparatively easy to mount up with wings as eagles, to run without wearying, but to walk without fainting, that's the secret, to stay with it. It's not how you start, but how you end, where you begin or where you close. And it has the thought about just staying on, never giving up, day by day, day by day. It has the thought of, like in World War I, my dear old dad was in World War I, and he was in the service, and he was in France. And they were knee-deep in mud. And they were day after day, and it was cold, and it was miserable. And they didn't have a lot of things for the military that they have now. And they sloshed through the mud and the mess and went on. They never gave up until the war was won. So we are to follow Christ. We're to stay with it until the war is over, until he takes us home, or until he returns, which could be at any time. Well, that's what Paul was talking about when he says steadfastness. He said it in another way in the book of Ephesians, he writes in Ephesians chapter 6, therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand, therefore, having girded your waist with truth, and put on the breastplate of righteousness, Ephesians 6, verses 13 and 14. Again, he calls it out to the Philippians, not the Ephesians, but to the Philippians in chapter 4 and verse 1. And he says, so stand fast in the Lord, beloved. Someone has rightly said, it's a good to begin, but it's better to remain steadfast until the end. It's not how you start, but where you end up. And I'm going to tell you, we can't all be famous, and we can't all sing, and we can't all be rich, and we can't be all of these things, but every one of us can be faithful. The rich and the poor, the down and the out, the king on the throne, the pawn under the field, we can all be faithful. We can all be steadfast, standing for the Lord, standing with the Lord. We are told of that in Daniel. Daniel 1, 21, it says, he continued. That was a very high tribute. It is, if not the highest, it's one of the highest. He says he was continued with God. And we're not looking then at some meteor flying through the sky, leaving a great trail behind it, but we're looking at that fixed star, and that stands there and serves the Lord and works with the Lord. And I've seen this in the church so many times, and I've seen Christian people. They're always there. They were there all the time. They're not perfect, and they're striving for perfection. They have their flaws just like all of us have, but they're there. They're always plugging away. Big show or no blow, it doesn't make a bit of difference. They're always plugging along. They're always steady at their post. They're always dependable for God. They are folk that win the day. And I've seen these people come on the stage of life, and they are there, and they're just great, but they're just like quicksand. There's nothing to them. You can't stand on them. You can't establish on them. They're nothing steadfast. Someone put it this way. The world is full of Christians on the retreat who, when things grow difficult, play down their Christianity. So never desert your post. Having put your hand to the plow, never give back. Never give up. Be like Elisha. He's plowing with 12 yoke of oxen. And Elijah comes, throws his mantle over his shoulder. And Elisha knows, that's my calling to be the next prophet in Israel. And what did he do? He's made of a plow, a wooden plow, and all of his instruments. He put them in a pile. And then he butchered the cows. He killed all of those cows. He put them on the altar and he burned them. He was burning his bridges behind him. There was no way he could go back to farming. It was all done. He was going on with God. And that's the way we have to live, my dear friends. We have to do that and stand with the Lord. I read the story about a tale of a veteran French soldier, and he came in a desperate situation upon a young recruit, trembling with fear. And the old veteran says, "Come on, son, you and I will do something fine for France." And so in the Philippians, Paul is saying, "Come on, son, come on, all of you. We'll do something fine for the Lord Jesus Christ. We'll be steadfast and true. We can be steadfast." And then if we want to live that Christian life, we must preserve the spirit of unity. If Paul says it this way, "Stand fast in one spirit with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel." Here we see it's a regiment of soldiers, and they're standing shoulder to shoulder. They're going to wage war against the enemy. And the enemy is strong, and he's no paper tiger. And he's mean, and he's wicked, and he's awful. He's wily, and he's cunning. And the devil has been at it for a long, long time. And he knows all the tricks of the trade. But we can win the battle if we stand together and work together and love together, stand shoulder to shoulder and march on for Jesus Christ. And some of these people you work with, you're just hard to work with them. They're like a porcupine. They got a lot of fine points, but you can't get near them and work with them. And so you can have all the talents in the world, but you need to learn to work with other people. Christian people, hand in hand, going to war with the Lord Jesus Christ. Each one preserves his own identity. Each one is his own person. Each one has a way of thinking. Each one shines in a different way. And we may not have the same ideas and the same viewpoints and the same thoughts. We may not have the same actions. But when we all get together, we all join hands. And every Christian, if the Christians in America and other parts of the world, if they would band together, they could do some good for the Lord and witnessing for Christ. How we need that. And you're different kinds of people and different talents and different hues and colors and all the rest. But when in Jesus Christ we all get together, we can do the battle. It's like an orchestra, for instance. You have the drums banging away. You have the violins resonant and clear. You have the flute mellow and gentle. You have the cymbals clanging away noisily. But when they're all put together, led by a conductor or a pastor or a shepherd, there's beautiful music comes forth to the blessing of the souls and the honor of the Lord. Learn to live with other people and work with other people. And nobody's perfect, including myself, ourself. And so just allow for that and go on and serve the Lord. We're bonded together. We're tied together. And we're tied together in Christian love. And we can reduce great spiritual results. Jesus says, "By this shall all men know that you are my disciples." Not that you have just the exact right theology. Not that you're just so perfect. Not that you're without flaw. But he says, "By this shall you know that you're my disciples, because you love one another." And that's what we need in the Christian church. And that's what we need in the Christian work. And all that we do is to love and to care for each other. Paul is telling the Philippians, learn to work together, learn to strive together, and get along together. And I've seen some of these people, they're hard to get along with, but you just learn to do it. And you just give and you forgive and you allow for them. And maybe they have some troubles in their hearts that you don't know anything about. Maybe they have struggles that you never see. And they don't need your critical eye, but they need your loving touch and your loving hand. Just forgive and forget and go on and never give up. And then we must show our courage in the presence of our enemies. He says in verse 28, "And not in any way terrified by your adversaries, which is to them a proof of perdition, but to you of salvation, and that from God." And the thought is here is of horse when it becomes frightened. And I've had a runaway. I was raised on the farm, proud of it. And we had horses when I first started out, 90 years ago. And dear Lord, we didn't have television, thank God. Well, I'm glad we got television for the Christian Worship Hour, but boy, there's a lot of junk to go along with it. But we'll shine as a light there. But we had horses, and I had one runaway, and that was I had a wagon, and the horse's wagon. I was supposed to haul some hay, and we had an old tractor that never should have been on the premises, and it backfired. And those horses took off. And there's only one thing that I could do, jump off that wagon. And the way they went across the country. And that's what it says. That's what Paul is saying. Don't be scared like a runaway horse. Don't jump at every little move the devil makes. Stand at your post. Stand at your place and be true. The devil is going to come upon us. Sometimes he looks awfully big, but he's never bigger than God. And God's going to have the last word. And remember this. He says, Jesus says, in this world you're going to have tribulation. But he says, be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. I have overcome the devil. I'm going to have the last word. We're on the winning team. So stay with it and rejoice in it. Remember when David met Goliath? The monster looked invincible. It looks like he was greater than God. He looked so big, he looked like a giant, but it didn't bother David. And David put him down with one little stone, just bang, and he was all done. Nothing like that had ever entered that giant's head before, except that little pebble, and that was the end of him. So when the thing looks so big and so terrible, never tremble, never fear. And when you have a battle, and when you win the battle, be sure you give God the credit. Because God says, my glory will I not give to another. And when we get so glorifying ourselves, and we did this, and we did that, and we are so great, God says, I'm done with him. I'm through with him. I'll take some humble man that will serve, or some woman. That's what he'll do. Too many of us are like the woodpecker. We always want to take credit to ourselves. And I read about this little old woodpecker. And he was kind of a measly little thing anyway. And he was pecking away at a tree, a big old pine tree. And a lightning hit that tree at the top and split it all the way down the middle. He thought that he was doing pecking on that tree. And he got all the other woodpeckers, came over to show him what he did, split that tree. And it was all God's doing. He just happened to be on the spot. And that's the way it is when we work for Christ. We happen to be on the spot. But all of the power and all of the victories and all the work that's being done comes from God. And he deserves all the glory. And then Paul tells us, you need to be, he says, just get strong. And he says, be courageous and don't be fearful and don't be afraid. And then, of course, you think about those three men in the Old Testament, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And they weren't afraid of the king or anything else. And they were courageous and they were strong. And they went into that and they were put into that. They were put to death in that fiery furnace. And lo and behold, when they looked in, there were four, and the fourth was like the Son of Man. It was God in Jesus in his pre-incarnate form, walking with his people. And if you're in the fire today, in the flames today, the Lord Jesus is with you, and it's not going to hurt you. Look at Daniel. And he was getting along in age. Some think that Daniel was in his 90s, still serving the Lord. Boy, am I ever happy that I'm in his same group as his in the 90s. And that is something, but I don't compare to Daniel in any other way, except I'm in my 90s. But so I brag about that. But here's Daniel, and you know the story. And the king says, you know, when we play a certain sound, you all bow to the statue, and Daniel wouldn't do it. And then he says that anybody of the three Hebrew children wouldn't do it. And then for Daniel, he says, anybody that talks to anybody else but the king is going to be put to death, put to the lion's den. And Daniel's practice was to pray to God. And he prayed in an open window. and he knew that they were spying him. But he went as 3 times a day. He knelt down and he prayed in that window. And he was put in the lion's den, but God was with him. He stood true to God. He wasn't afraid to stand. He had courage. And so we must have that strange thing, same thing. We have to be like this. We have to stand with the Lord, knowing that we're going to have that victory. And it may look dark, and it may look like everything's impossible, but we can be strong in our Lord. We can be lion-hearted for God. We can be strong because the Holy Spirit is within us, helping us. Never waver, never move, never fear. And so that's what Paul is calling upon us today. We start out for the Lord and never turn back, never turn back. Somebody said, put it like this, I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. The world behind me, the cross before me, though none go with me, still I will follow. And then he says, will you decide to follow Jesus? And then the chorus, I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. That's what we have to do. And then finally, we must accept suffering as a gift from God. Look, listen to this. And the persecuted church, we're in North Korea, and we have a good, strong signal in North Korea. And maybe they'll be hearing, they'll listening to this. And this is for them, and this is for all of us, but for them. Verse 29, For to you it has been granted on behalf of Christ not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for his sake. These Philippians must have been thrilled when they realized they were fighting the same battle that Paul fought when he was here. They were soldiers together. And that's with the Christian church. That's a persecuted church. You can rejoice because you're suffering for Christ. And we, those of us who are not in the mix and we're not in those terrible places, we need to make up our mind right now that if it comes to our door, we'll never back down and we'll never give up. And we're going to serve him and suffer for him. Because not Jesus is good enough to save us. He's good enough to ask us to suffer for him and stand for him as long as we have life. And so Paul tells us, just remember this, stay on, walk on. In that persecuted church, I think of it so often. There's a mission called Open Doors Missions. It tells us that 215 million Christians are under persecution right now somewhere in the world. Many have been persecuted unto death. Approximately 1 in every 12 Christians is experiencing persecution for their faith. And so the Christians need to do this. I'm going to stand up for Jesus Christ. I'm going to stand in the battle no matter what it costs me. I'll never give up. I'll never turn back, no matter what. And you make up your mind. We make up our mind, and then that holds us. We don't hold that concept. That concept holds us. We're never going to give up. We don't even have to pray about it. We're never going to give up, no matter what. And so when Jesus comes, he's going to reward us for that. But I wonder today how many of you are Christians. I wonder if some of you wouldn't like to join our ranks. It's the most wonderful thing in the world. And I'll tell you, if you want to join, how you can do it. You can come to Jesus. You can talk to Jesus. And you say, well, I don't know what to say. Well, you just talk to him. And you just tell him, dear Jesus, I'm a sinner. I've sinned against you. And God knows that, but he wants us to admit it. I have sinned against you. And I ask you to come into my heart and take away my sins. And I'll serve you the best I can, dear Jesus. And thank you. Amen. Use your own words. God's looking at your heart. He's not looking at your words anyway. And just listen to him. And then if you made that decision, you write to us. The Christian Worship Hour. Christian Worship Hour. Box 2002. Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. If you want the new song, let us know that. If you want that little booklet on salvation, let us know that. And write to us and help us in the work, because we can't carry on. We got to pay our way just like anybody else. And that's just fine. The Lord isn't a beggar for anybody. We'll pay our way just among the rest of them. If the beer companies can pay their way, we can pay our way, and we can do it with rejoicing. And so you just ask God what to do. Write to us now here. I'm going to give it again for all of you on shortwave. Christian Worship Hour, Box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. Now I'm going to pray for you. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the multitudes of people, thousands of people we believe that are praying that prayer right now. And names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life and they're a child of God. We pray for the young people today, Lord, that you'll help them in making decisions and help them to have Jesus in their heart. And the Holy Spirit will guide and help them. We pray for the shut-ins and those who are lonely and those who are deserted and those who are suffering and those who are afraid. And you said that you'd never leave us or forsake us, and help them just to trust you and love you. We know many of your people and you are having a hard time. And you told us, comfort ye my people. And that's what we're trying to do. Encourage you and tell you, stay with it, stand with it. The battle is ours. Christ is ours. He's going to have the last word. Just stay with it. In Jesus' name, amen. So I want to thank you all for tuning in today. Thank you for opening the doors for us. We have got a letter from somebody in a truck listening to us in their truck. Wherever you are, thank you. Now you pray for us and you help us out and you send us a gift if you can possibly do it. But pray for us above all other things. And then next week we'll be back and we're going to talk about prayer and about different ways to pray. And you have to be on your knees and oh, you're going to love it. The wonderful thing about teaching us to pray. So God bless you. God loves you. The Christian Worship Hour loves you. And we think about you and pray for you all the time. And next week, Lord willing, if he doesn't come before then, we'll be back. God bless you.
My dad loved to preach because he got to tell people of the saving grace of Jesus Christ. For the 76 years he was a pastor, he wanted everyone to know that Jesus loved them, died for them, and rose again, so that anyone who calls upon his name and repents of their sin will have eternal life in heaven. And for those of us that have received Jesus and are born again, Dad wanted to encourage us to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior. I'm Mike Salem. To learn more about having a relationship with Jesus, visit our website at cwh.org. You can also stream this message again, as well as other 30 and 60 minute programs. Locate a station in your area, subscribe to our monthly newsletter called A New Song, view frequently asked questions answered by Pastor Salem, as well as newly released devotions, and submit a prayer request on our Pray For Me page. Our weekly program will also be available on our website, our Facebook page, and our YouTube channel. We hope you have been uplifted by today's program. Please pray for this ministry and help us financially to continue proclaiming the gospel through the Christian Worship Hour. We would be most grateful. Thank you and God bless you.